Hey everybody, welcome back to the Astrological Podcast. I haven't really got a name for it, but let's call it Easy Astrology Lessons with Dusty and Carol. We're going to talk primarily about Earth energy today, but in so doing, I wanted to help you understand all of the elements as we go along by seeing why they're in the order that they are and how metaphysics is just a branch of physics. They cannot argue. They cannot disagree. Otherwise, one is a lie. This is a lot of stuff most pagans are never taught. So, put on your thinking caps. Carol, how are you doing today? What do you want to start with?
I'm doing great, Dusty. Thanks. I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk about Earth to everybody because we were going on and on about fire. And I guess the most thing to get started in is to remember as you go along from one element to the next is that Earth follows fire and it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up first. The order is fire, earth, air, water. Now, fire and air are masculine. Earth and water are feminine. That never changes. So, for example, if anybody knows what a sine wave is, or if you don't, think of breathing in and breathing out. Fire expands. It's contagious. It's aggressive. It goes out and grabs things. Earth contracts. And this is the nature, of nature. We have day, then we have night. Fire burns hot and warms the air, and we all dance around and say, "Yay, fire!" And then when the fire goes out, the earth, it gets cool. The heat dissipates. So we expand and we contract, and that's the essence of astrology. That's also the essence of physics. We expand, we contract. We expand, we contract. So fire is just the very first expansion. And Earth is that pulling back or that solidifying. When lava cools, it solidifies. The same thing. Fire expands, Earth contracts. All right, Carol, please jump in at any time.
I was also going to say, I'm glad you made another interesting thing that I just thought of that I wanted to make sure that we got to today. About fire being masculine and earth being feminine. However, again, I don't want anybody out there, and I know, you always explain this so well, about how it doesn't have anything to do with male and female as far as people go, because we all have all these traits within us, and we can look at traits and say, yeah, they're masculine, but then women do it too, and vice versa.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. This has nothing to do with your gender or whether you have, that manly part or that feminine part, the XY chromosomes that always screw me up. We will say masculine and feminine, positive versus negative, aggressive versus passive, aggressive versus seductive. This is nothing to do with your physical gender. As a matter of fact, to explain what Carol said, one of my favorite analogies that you'll see in my book, The Easiest Way to Learn Astrology Ever, is I talk about a prism. A prism is a little glass triangle. Technically, it's a pyramid, but I like saying triangle. It's a glass triangle that we shoot white light into. Well, we don't say white light. We say light. Just assume that it's white. So we shoot light into, and then magically it splits the light beam into its various colors. Red, what is it? Roy G. Biv? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Indigo, somewhere in there. It's the same light. It's just now we get to go, oh, look, I'm looking at you. And we get to examine red. We go, you were hiding in that light, weren't you? We can examine blue. Blue and red are part of the white. That's what a prism does. It says this light that we look at is really a combination of all these colors working together. In the same way, everything on the planet and everyone on the planet is comprised of energy. I forget the formula, but matter is either energy slowed down or energy sped up. But matter is energy, and you can find this out because when you destroy matter, it becomes energy. Einstein said energy can be neither created nor destroyed, just transformed. So we are red. We're Roy G. Biv. I'm going to change my name to Roy. You know, red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, blue, violet, that kind of stuff. All we're doing with astrology is just like a prism, we're breaking it apart so we can look at each individual part. So Carol, not to get too advanced, she might have more air energy than I do. I might be like air deficient, just like I don't have blonde hair. Some people have blonde hair, so they have more blonde hair than I do. Some people have more black hair than I do. I'm kind of like some mutant in the middle. I may have more earth and fire energy than Carol, but that's debatable. So imagine that we're all composed of energy. Energy can be broken down into fire, earth, air, and water. And it's just like a glass of chocolate milk. Some people like their milk with tons of chocolate. You're like, oh my God, I can't taste the milk. And other people just want to add a little bit, so they're kind of flavoring their milk. It's just a matter of ratios. The glass has to be full of chocolate and milk. That's just the way it is. As a human, you represent 100% of your USRDA of energy. You know? But some people are more active, some people are more passive, some people are more ambitious, some people want to be taken care of. You know, you can go on different ways, but the essence is, just like Carol said, some people will be a little bit more of this, some people will be more of that, and it's got nothing to do with gender. That idiot, and I say idiot because I hate him. I don't hate him like I've never met the guy, but I don't like his message. John Gray, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Bullshit. That is absolutely not true. We're all from planet Earth. We have effeminate men. We have masculine men, we have men in the middle, we've got very aggressive women, we've got very seductive women, dainty women, maternal women. We can't just chop us down the middle and say, you get over here, blue for boys, pink for girls. So I want to make sure we always stay clear of the lunacy of, I call it pop psychology, like pop music. It's just, you know, worthless trash. Anyway, I'm ranting again, Carol.
Okay, well, anyway, yeah, let me jump in. I was going to say, well, to get back to the transition, yeah. Okay, of fire to earth. You know, like you said, we talked about fire last time, and fire's going on burning. You know, it's aggressive, it's assertive, it's courageous. But then it can get out of hand. So guess what, you know, earth energy decided to do for whatever the reason, like, let's pull back,
nature.
Like what you were going to say, let's congeal, and let's just stand still for a while. And not move.
Right. Nature.
Because we've had enough of the fire for a while. Let's do something else.
So nature likes balance, right, Carol?
Exactly. So you transition to earth, and then it's like, it's, you know, the reaction to the fire. It's stable, it's practical, it doesn't like change, and it's very protective and nurturing.
Right. So I want to run through a couple of examples of what fire is versus what earth is, so we can better understand. Now, the way to understand the elements is just look at the element. That's my table. It's representative of earth. It's solid. No matter how hard I pound through it, I cannot magically make my hand pass through it. Now, air, I can make my hand move through the air easily. That's there you go. Now you understand astrology. Fire, it's hot, it's greedy, it burns, it wants to burn everything it touches, and the moment you stop feeding it, it gets bored and it dies. It just goes away. Earth, it's plain, boring, reliable. It stays where you want it. We were talking earlier, and one of my favorite analogies about Earth, Carol had said that Earth is very stable, and I said, we like Earth to be stable. We rely on it. We don't even think about it. It's beneath our notice. But when we leave for work every day, we come back, we know exactly where our home is. We know exactly where our 80-inch giant screen plasma TV and our internet and our Wii or Xbox is. Because Earth hasn't moved. If Earth was variable, if Earth wasn't so reliable, every day would be an adventure. We'd come home and like, where did I leave my house? So fire represents the energy of us getting up in the morning going, yes, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to go do something. And our house is like Earth. I'm just going to sit here till you get back because I don't want to go anywhere. You're a damn fool. You should stay home. What do you think, Carol?
I think that's a very good thing, and it does get me into something about talking about, you know, how Earth is being reliable, and when you look for that reliability in people, I mean, again, you can see it in either gender. You can see it in the man who runs the company, and he's stable, and he worries about the money, and he makes sure the money is there, and he's responsible, and like you said, he gets up and he goes out to work every day, whereas a woman can exhibit the Earth energy. Or man too. Again, either one can go out to work. Again, what Dusty said, either one can do this. Worry about the money, worry about things being in place, worry that everything is taken care of.
You said men worry a lot.
What?
You said worry a lot. Before we get in trouble with the female gender, we're not saying, you know, we're not 1950s. You know, we're not like, women stay at home and make lunch for dad who comes in and says, son, I've been at work all day. The point is that, And Carol's right, reliability. If we're talking about, you know, male or female, you go to work every single day. Well, you know, that's reliability. You know, or you stay home and you cook a meal and you raise the family. That's reliability. And again, either gender can do that. But we do have we've kind of pushed women over here and pushed men over here. But that's very Earth energy. It's consistency. But compare that to fire, if you would, please.
Fire is the get up and go that gives you the idea to go out and do whatever in the first place. And you need that to get you started. However, without the earth, like you said, you're just going to burn yourself out or, you know, keep consuming itself. And eventually, you know, what happens? You don't have anything. Right. You have a burned forest to show for. So you need the earth to slow you down and make you consistent, make it reliable, and produce a result.
Yeah. Fire transforms and earth preserves. And we need both of those.
Right.
Let me run down just a couple of examples and chime in at any time. Going back to masculine and feminine, we're going to see that in this list of objects or items and adjectives, I say, fire is always the aggressor, it's always masculine, it's always dynamic, and earth will be more sedate. But fire is one aspect of expansion. Air would be the other. Earth is one aspect of contraction. Water will be the other. We'll explain that later. So just a couple examples. Again, breathing in, breathing out. Fire represents, as Carol said, action, creativity, the act of going out and doing something. Earth is the reaction. So we have action versus reaction in magnetic or electronic terminology. We have positive versus negative. That doesn't mean good or bad. It literally means, you know, the positive charge, the negative charge, north pole, south pole of the magnets. Carol, would you say that fire is impatient and earth is patient?
Yeah, absolutely. Fire is the one that, you know, it's the brave, courageous. Here, let me go do this. Get out of my way. You know, have you looked at it yet? Let me tell me what you think. And the earth person is sort of going, just a minute. Yeah, give me a chance.
Hold on there, Sparky. Let's not exactly. Just rush off on, you know, some darn fool quest. Now, for anybody who's extremely advanced at astrology, understand, we're talking core basic elements. Yes, there will be variations within each element, but just to get the essence of the element, you know, we have to explain water. It's clear, it's liquid. You can drink it. It's all over the planet. Now somebody at least has a basic understanding of what water is. Later on, we can talk about salt water, rainwater, fresh water. But so right now, we want to make sure we get people grounded. Hey, that's an earth thing in the elements. So again, just a couple more. Fire is aggressive. Earth is defensive, like the invading army. You know, we are attacking the fort. That's very fiery.
Right.
We're defending the fort. You can't have our women and our food. That's very
right.
Earth.
And the fort itself is Earth.
Yes, it preserves the status quo. So that's I think that's probably the best thing I've said already, if I can compliment myself. Fire wants to change things. Earth preserves the status quo. So you can see that these are, I don't want to say natural enemies, but they just don't play nicely together. You will constantly find people with a lot of fire energy going out and saying, let's implement, let's create, let's try something new. And Earth-centered people are more along the lines of, don't be stupid. We can get rid of what we don't need after examining it for about 12 days. But we have to hold on to the values and traditions that made this thing great. And we should tread slowly. So it's always a tug of war between, mommy, I want to do this. Mommy, I want to do this. Mommy, I want to do this. And eat your vegetables and take a nap. You know, they're both important. We just got to, you know, it's just that they don't work. They don't play nicely in the sandbox together.
They don't, but on the other hand, if you want to get anything going, you need both.
Yeah, you need both, and that's what we're going to learn over time, is how to make these make stuff for you. We're not just learning this so we can say, oh boy, I know a lot of stuff. We're learning how to turn lead into gold, and this is where it all starts. By the way, lead, very earth, if we had to say. You know, very base, it sits there. Gold is wars are fought over it. We use it for romance. We use it for electricity. We used to use lead for electricity, I believe. But a couple more here. To give you a really good understanding of both elements and how they're different. Again, fire is hot and dry, just like the element. Remember, look at the element, go, huh, it's hot and dry. Well, now you understand fire. Earth is cool and moist. Fire energy is very temperamental versus Earth's placidity. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Earth is just going to, again, it just sits there. It waits for you to come back to it, and it doesn't mind sitting there. In fact, it likes to sit there.
Yeah, I prefer it. Don't bother me. Get off
That's
my
right.
lawn, you damn
right.
teenagers.
Yeah, you know, I was perfectly happy until you came along. Leave me alone. I mean, I think, to me, that, you know, leave me alone.
I'm going to write a song, and I'm going to call it, I Was Perfectly Happy Until You Came Along. That's if somebody hasn't done it already, I just like that.
That's so
now,
true.
The problem with fire, you know, because, you know, a lot of people might be going, well, fire is a lot more fun. I mean, because we're like active, impatient, aggressive. Fire is transient. I'm here, I'm gone, I'm here, I'm gone. It's short attention span like a cat or a five-year-old. But, you know, Earth is lasting. Earth will be there for you.
Yeah, you know, and I hate to get into the, you know, yeah, well, I'm trying not to, like I say, anybody can do this. But when you think of the Earth patient, always there, always stable, you know, reliable energy, I mean, the first thing that comes to your mind, if you had to put a name on it, is mom, you know?
Yeah.
It's the nerd, it's your mother. It's the one that, you know, does the repetitive stuff, cooks, you know, how many times have I scrambled eggs for my son over the years? I mean, every day, I mean, since he was a toddler, you know, I mean, that repetitive, you know, and mom's there and, you know, she's patient. She's there with you when you're sick, you know, all that stuff. That's all, and not to say a man can't do it. Okay. Again, not to get into the, but it's a very, again, a feminine energy.
Yeah. That's a good point, is that, your son is reliant on that earth energy, on that, this is just a constant in my life. Like the fact that we breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out every day even though that's talking about air, like literally we're breathing air, that right there is kind of an earth action. We like the fact that we breathe in and breathe out every day. As a matter of fact, that's kind of one of the most important things in most people's minds is how long can I keep breathing in and out? Because, you know, the alternative is just not fun. But again, we just take it for granted. I breathe in, I breathe out. I don't think about that during the day. So we tend to undervalue or ignore Earth energy. And if Earth energy had a personality, it wouldn't mind. Because I don't like loud music. I don't like change. It's like, okay. So your being there for your son provides a platform, a stable foundation for him to go out and explore the world, fire, find out who and what he is. But he always knows that there's food on the table, there's a bed, and there's somebody who will, listen to him and nurture him. So just two examples there.
Right. Getting off into something else, I know everybody, and I know a lot of the reason people don't like astrology or don't think it's worth learning is because people will say, oh, well, I'm a Cancer, I'm not any, people just tell me this and that doesn't fit me, so astrology can't be right. But here's what Dusty was saying, and here's my point. We have all have this energy within each of us, no matter when you're, what day of, there's other things that go into just the day that you're born. We'll get into that later. But again, I'm not an earth sign. When you get back to that, I can do all these earth energy things and not be, your sun sign is this, so that's what you are.
Right. The fact that you are not an earth sign doesn't mean you can't be reliable.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted people to know. It's just like, throw that just because you're this sign, this is how you are. Forget it. That's why so many people don't like astrology.
Well, here's another thing. Staying with that same exact point. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean you can't be a colonel in the United States Air Force. I tell everybody I meet this. The only reason why Carol didn't become a general is she said, I don't want that. Life is about choices and what we're handed with. It's about what we're handed. Sometimes we're handed poo. Sometimes we're handed a whole bunch of cookies. Hopefully we're not handed poo cookies. And yes, some of us have it easier than others and whatever, but when it comes down to the end of the day, we have to work with what we've got. That's where nature is unfair. It's like, here, this is what you get. And Carol has chosen to be, earthy in that sense and reliable and whatnot. She taps into that part of her personality. But at the same time, she also built this amazing career defending our country and bringing value to other people and rose up the ranks in a patriarchal dominated society. So these are both examples of how astrology is not fatalistic. It doesn't say, as Carol said, I'm a Cancer, therefore I must, therefore I'm like this. It's like, going back to that, just if we're all beings of light, and I don't want to get all new agey, but I'm talking about new astrology, I don't want to get new agey. If we all are essence, energy that's been solidified, meaning, we have red, green, blue, all that stuff in us. Some of us burn more red, we're blue deficient. We're like red and green and yellow, but we're not really purple. And then somebody else is really purple, So for example, just like when I say, and when I talk about colors, I'm using them as an example because you can look at a rainbow or a prism and all the colors are nice and order and they're evenly spaced. That's light. That's pure light. Human beings and nature is not like that. You have scraggly plants. You have healthy plants. You have tall trees, short trees, fat trees, skinny trees. These are all plant-based material. Trees, plants, shrubs, grass. But some of them, if we want to use the color spectrum, are more red. Some are more blue. Some are more green. The thing about humans is that we have that thing called intelligence and these things called opposable thumbs that allow us to go against our nature or not do what we are predominantly predisposed to do. We can say, I know that I want to do this and it seems like I should be doing this, but against my better judgment or whether it's good for me or not, I'm going to rebel against that and do something else. So it's a good point to bring up is that when we talk about astrology, we're talking about scientific fact and we're trying to make it really easy, but we aren't slaves to our genetic makeup. You know, there's nature, there's nurture, and astrology is your DNA. I call it your astro DNA. It's hardwired into you. But just because I have two hands doesn't mean I'm always going to use them or use them properly. I can actually choose to just tie one hand behind my back as an experiment and walk around for the entire day trying to work with my left hand, which I'm not accustomed to. In the same way, we are predisposed to certain patterns. And those patterns are very complex, but we're starting out with the building blocks here. But that doesn't mean that we have to follow those patterns. The fact that we are human means that we can choose this or that. So I just want people to scrub the idea that because you are X astrology sign, you have to be blah, blah, blah. That's just crap. That's like saying if you're born in one side of the country or born a certain skin color, you are blah, blah, blah. That's racist and it's labeling and it's just as bad. Anyway, I'm ranting again. Help me, Carol. Help me.
No, I mean, you're just going on and making the point I wanted to make because I feel like, you know, we're just really getting into explaining all this. And I just wanted people to get how, like, okay, we'll relate this because people always immediately think of sun signs. And it's just like, it's one place to start, but it's just not the way it's really all put together. It's sort of like the McDonald's of how you learn this. And what Dusty's really trying to do is really give you from the ground floor up the way all of the energy works, and then later we'll get to where how you can apply it to all the different kinds of energy that you're composed of, and it's different for everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I compare people running around saying, I'm a Leo, or I'm a Pisces. Not that Pisces people talk like that. I just like using funny voices because I'm an idiot. But I compare people and just running around saying, I'm this and I'm that, to somebody who went to college to be a scientist, and the only thing they learned was E equals MC squared. And they run around going E equals MC squared, calling themselves a physicist. Like, saying, I'm a Leo, I'm a Sagittarius. That's not even close. It's like saying, I have teeth or I have arms. Okay, and you have eyes and a nose and a liver and a kidney and toes and hair on your back or whatever. We are so much more. So I want to disabuse people of the concept that your sun sign is you. It's a totality of you. That's who you are. Now, if you want to read Linda Goodman's sun signs or moon signs or love signs, I love Linda. I've never met her. I wish I had a chance to. She made astrology fun, but she was just trying to simplify it for people. And there's a little backlash on that because people thought, oh, that's all there is to it. All she did was give people huge portions of very simple information. And the idea was it's just supposed to be fun, but you can't just rely on that. It's like saying, I'm from the South. Oh, you're from the South. Therefore, all people from the South get along famously. Unfortunately not. But let me go back to fire and earth and off the rant a bit. Couple more things about fire and earth. Fire destroys. That's its nature. Earth collects. Fire invades. You know, just as I'm saying these things, think about not a match, but like a big bonfire. Or an explosion, or lightning, or fireworks, or a forest fire. All of these are aspects of fire. So fire invades, earth resists. You know, earth stone wall, Fire energizes, yes. That's why we talk about the fire in your belly or your creativity. Earth stabilizes, you know, placidity. Couple more. Fire and flames, duh. Earth rejuvenates. That's why we have a mud bath at the spa. Fire is very kinetic. Earth is sedate. And the last one, fire is ever-changing, but earth is repetitive. What I wanted to talk about, Carol, was what fire is good for versus what earth is good for. And I'll start off with a few things, and I'm hoping that you'll come in. Fire. If we have four elements, we have four bowls of Cheerios. What do I need to eat today? Well, I'm going to eat my bowl of fire Cheerios. I'm going to be very passionate today. I'm going to be, fire is good for passion. It's good for change. Courage. You can't have courage without fire. Everybody has courage in them somewhere. Everybody has fire. So, you know, even if you're like a Pisces or a Scorpio, yes, you have it in you. Passion, change, courage, zeal. Here's my favorite, getting off your damn butt to do something. So those are things that fire is good for. Carol, did I miss anything?
No, I think that about says it. So then when you go over to the earth bowl of Cheerios, okay, the earth would be the one that would make you be stable, stick to the job once you start it,
yes.
Be reliable and show up for work on time, be dependable, and also be organized. There's a lot of organization in earth that, you know, this is the best. They set out a plan. The energy sets out a plan. This is the best way to do A, B, and C.
And let me, that's a good point, because there's a great saying that comes to mind right now. And this is such an earth saying. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Not only is that true, but it's simple, like earth, and it makes sense, like earth. Common sense equals earth, you know. If you don't get that by now, go back to the beginning of the podcast and listen. Common sense equals earth. Absolutely.
Let's see. I would say another thing that the earth is loyal.
Yes.
You know, the earth energy is there when you need it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like a bank
or
an insurance company. We're there when you need us. Banks are the ultimate of earth energy. You do not know how to manage your money. When you get paid, put your money in here. A, it will be safe. We have big, giant vaults so people can't steal it. B, when you try to take your money at the bank, out of the bank, we're going to make it as hard as possible on you because we like holding on to it. We know it's your money. Just let me hold on to it.
Right.
You know? You want a loan? How dare you? That's yeah. Good old-fashioned earth energy.
That's right. Another thing that earth energy is very structured. The earth energy is the structure that says, okay, at 9 o'clock I do this, at 10 o'clock I do
yes.
that, at noon I do that. And it's just like, and again, repetitive, every day I do the same thing, but this
fire
is
energy
sort of,
is like, don't fence me in, man.
Right, but you know, but earth energy is at the end, all that structure, that's what leads to the result. That the fire energy wants when it starts, like, oh boy, I want to start a $1 million company. And so it's like, well, that's great, but you know, but to do that, you're going to need to do every day, do this work, whether there's days that you're thrilled about it or not.
Now, two things real quick. I want to talk about the negative sides. You know, this is all positive and happy, but I want to talk about the debilities.
Right, and it is. There's definitely, to every energy, you know, there's the good and the bad.
But before we do that, I want to put in one more thing. Earth energy, again, we talked about common sense, very Mark Twain, Ernest Hemingway. Well, he's a combination. He's like, well, get into him later. But habit is, if you need to build a habit, a good habit, earth energy is the way to go. You focus on your, how do we focus on earth energy? Well, get a piece of dirt, meditate on it, go, or get a rock. I'm going to be like this rock. Earth energy is how we build habit. The problem is sometimes we have to break a habit, like quit. quitting smoking. Well, you can't do that with earth energy. It's like, I smoked yesterday. My grandfather smoked for 100 years, lived to be 101. You know? Fire energy is great for breaking habits. So fire breaks free. Earth stays in the same place. So here's just one example. If you want to instill a good habit, save a little money every day, you'll be rich by, well, you know, time you're 150. That's very predominantly earth. But if you're tired of something, I'm tired of not going out and having fun, I'm tired of smoking, I'm tired of spending all my money on women, I'm tired of dating, you know, loser guys, the breaking free, that's literally, you're describing the fire energy in you. But real quick, Carol, let's talk about the negative stuff. Let's talk about how can fire be bad, or what's the downside of having all this fire energy?
Well, the downside of fire is just what you were saying. It dissipates, and then you end up not doing anything in the end.
Oh, I get it. It's the guy who... you meet at a bar and he's just wonderful and sensational. He's like, and he's all flashy and everything. And he never calls you again because he's just off somewhere else. Well, that was fun. I'm going to go do something else. No attention span. Fire has no attention span.
And then Earth can have too much attention span.
Why won't he call?
Or,
you know, there's a lot of guys on the phone. Why won't she call? She's probably out having sex with some other guy. She's at work. She's having sex at work with something. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't want to blame Earth signs for that. But yeah, Earth sign is like, I'm just going to sit here by the phone and wait. And they will call.
Right.
It's like, phone? What phone? The best thing that ever happened to fire energy was the invention of the cell phone. Oh, look, I could be doing something and still make a call. Otherwise, I'd have to sit down, stop doing things, just so I can make a call. How horrible is that?
Right. But then, like you said, like the negative side of Earth would be it never changes. We're talking boredom personified.
Oh,
you want to watch the same TV show every night of your life. You never want to do anything different. Why should I change?
Pink Floyd had a great song. I think it's called Time. I don't know. But it always haunted me as a kid because I heard it. As a kid, and it got stuck in my head. But the essence was about this guy just wasting his life. You know, there's time. I got lots of time. And then, you know, the song goes on and he's older. It's like, thought I'd had something more to say. Yeah. So Earth can be, people say impatience is bad and that patience is a virtue. I disagree. I think impatience is a classic virtue. Impatience gets you off your butt because impatience won't allow you to, you know, well, I'll just keep putting up with my boss's crap. You know, either I can make it work or I can outlast him or I can be stubborn or if I wait long enough, he'll change. All of that's earth energy. You know, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let that boss, you know, show me. I'll put up with his crap. So sometimes you can get too fixated, just like Carol said, too stuck in, what do we call it? A stick in the mud?
Yeah, stick in the mud, which is more earth, you know?
Yeah.
Earth piled into earth.
Yes.
Here's
some dirt.
Yeah, here's some dirt, here's some wood, and it all just sits there.
Yeah.
Stick in that mud.
Ain't nothing changing, and ain't nothing growing because it's a stick.
Right. Another negative thing to Earth is what I was talking about earlier about structure. And structure is great, and it's the Earth energy that helps you set up the structure. But then when it gets too much with the structure, then the Earth kind of turns upon itself and starts picking everything apart. Earth energy can also be very critical. Like, okay, you did that right, but like, let's...
Oh, very judgmental, right.
Very judgmental, very critical.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way.
I would have done it that way.
Again,
picky.
I'm not going to act, but I'll react to what you did. Like fire does, Earth sits there and goes, huh, really? How's that working out for you? Also, you mentioned structure. too much structure, we have rigidity. If you think rigidity is not bad, think of being locked in a prison cell. You have bars, you have walls, you have guards. Every morning, a tray, I'm assuming I haven't been to prison, and hopefully I won't be, but I've seen a lot of movies, and I know all about it. I've seen movies. But they shove this metal tray of crappy food at you. It's like, or at least that's how they do it in the movies. And that is too much rigidity. You can't leave. That is earth to the point where you're stuck, you're stifled. There's a girl in the news, Elizabeth, whatever, she was trapped by that preacher guy. And she's
right, yeah.
Oh, she's in the news because 10 years later she's going to write a book, and I'm very excited about that. And I'm glad that she's got, some kind of halfway decent life after that horrible ordeal. But that's an example of, Earth is extremely possessive, by the way. This is mine, or you are mine. The possessiveness, being grounded, you can't leave the house. Wow, just even the word grounded, we can say I'm very grounded, that's nice. Or you can say you're grounded, that's not nice. But both of those are, you're staying in place, that's Earth energy. So when we're talking about all this, what we're saying is we're giving you clues how to understand what's going on. We're not just throwing out a whole bunch of words like cool and moist, placid, lasting, needs,
right. Yeah, that's why we're trying to give examples of like real life things. Like, see, another thing with Earth is very patient. Your kid jumps on the sofa how many times and you forgive and you forget. That's patience. Okay, we'll deal with it again, deal with it again. The flip side of that is when you get too patient and then you won't change your mind and you're just stubborn, stubborn, stubborn. It's like, don't try to talk to me. I'm not changing my mind.
Right.
I don't care.
So we're talking about the symptoms so that you can – what you need to do is learn the symptoms just by listening and getting an idea. We want you to be philosophical about this, where you don't memorize the words. You don't memorize the terms. You just kind of understand, look, my desk is solid because I'm pounding on it. My fist is fire. Pound, pound, pound. I'm trying to put my hand through the desk. Not in a karate style. I want it to okay, here we go. It's sideline time. Non sequitur. Scientists tell us that there's more space in between our molecules than there is molecules in the space. Therefore, it should seem that my hand should pass right through the desk because there's so much space in between. Unfortunately, for reasons that elude my pea-sized brain, my fist won't go through the desk like some magic trick. So my fist is the fire. I am pounding on that. I want it to go through. I want to change this. Harump, harump, harump. I didn't get a harump out of you, Carol.
Yeah, no. And in fact, let me give another example of that. I remember I sent you a picture. This was about a year ago when they were the Titanic was in the news again, I guess when the 3D version of the movie came out.
Certainly.
But there was this gorgeous picture of a light show on the side of an iceberg that the iceberg, again, here's the Earth, solid. Okay,
it's I ain't going nowhere.
Right, I am going nowhere, this iceberg. And they had superimposed this light image of the Titanic along the side of it. And that's how huge that iceberg was. And you think about, there was the Titanic. There was all that fire energy of everybody, the people that were running that ship.
We're going to plow right through this thing.
Right, they were saying, no, we are headed for New York. We are unsinkable. Nothing is going to stop us. This ship cannot sink. Blam.
Yeah, the name is Titanic.
Right, the name is Titanic. Talk about hubris, Aries. I'm sorry.
Good point, though.
The fire, I can just go do this. Everybody get out of my way. What do you mean I can't? What do you mean something could happen to me? Are you crazy? Nothing's going to happen to me. Blammo,
Blammo. Now that's
down
a good
to the
point.
Bottom of the right down to the bottom of the ocean in less than 2 hours. So much for that,
Yeah. Earth one, fire zero.
Yeah, that's right.
So, sorry everybody. That's that's the facts, and we can feel bad, and we should, I should as a moral judgment, but we can feel bad for the people on board. But it's the people in charge and their arrogance, their fiery man conquers nature, you know, that didn't realize that nature or Earth is a big, bad SOB. But this is a classic example of male versus female. And I don't mean gender, I mean energy-wise. The masculine energy of the Titanic. We are an icebreaker. We have a name called Titanic. We are going to sail through the North Sea. Well, North Sea, I think, is actually on the other side of the island. But
yeah, they were in the North Atlantic.
North Atlantic. It's a sea and it's north, or it's an ocean and it's north. So in the North Atlantic, you know, plowing ahead, we're not sailing. We're not adapting to the wind. We're a motorboat. We got a giant rocket engine on the back of our boat, and we're shooting straight towards, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. We, you know, I want it now. I'm going to go get it now. Come on. How many women, how many times have you heard the men? Straight to the bedroom. I can fix it, you know, straightest point. Let's be efficient. Let's go from here to there. So very masculine, fiery energy. And the iceberg. I'm just sitting here, not doing anything. Been an iceberg for a couple hundred years. Hey, what the hell are you doing? You know, slams into the iceberg. And the iceberg's like, screw you, Tony. And it defends itself. Because that's what Earth's energy does. That's what icebergs do. And unfortunately for the boat, iceberg was stronger than the boat. So in this case, you had a more powerful Earth than you had fire. Had the Titanic won, you would have had a more powerful fire than Earth. So we can have variations. Fire is not better than Earth. Earth is not better than fire. It depends on which one is stronger, but remember, the masculine energy goes out and commands, it grabs, it tries to take over, and the feminine energy, which we all have in us, I don't know, get tired of saying that, defends, it nurtures, it stays put, and it utilizes the resources that it has. And when they clash, as Carol said, you have a Titanic experience. It's the unstoppable force meets the immovable object. What happens? Something breaks. Anyway, what do you think?
In another sense, something is created, because look at how people all get started. The sperm, which is very masculine and aggressive, and a fire, towards the egg, which is very feminine and receptive. And, you know,
also,
and it's
defensive,
like,
because only one can get in.
That's right. And only one can get in, and one makes it in, and that's it. The egg actually, a little bit of science here, the egg actually gives off an enzyme, which so none of the other sperm can make it. And it's like, and that one winner, and that's it. And then, you know, you create a person. So from that perspective, fire needs earth, earth needs fire. I mean, it's like the basis of life.
Right. And this is what it comes back to, is that we are segregating these energies just so that we can look at it. It's like we're all made of cake. So what we're trying to do is reverse engineer cake. We're trying to scientifically extract the eggs and the milk and the butter and the chocolate, because chocolate is the best cake in the world, and the flour, which we need, because we can't just make a cake. The moment you can make a cake out of chocolate, that'd be better. You know, just Here's a whole bunch of chocolate, now it's cake. It's like, you know what, that'll be great. But, so what we're doing is we're pointing at eggs and flour and then later on we'll point at the milk and the chocolate or whatever. And we're trying to say, no, really, if you see these things, eggs and milk and flour and sugar or chocolate, if you scramble them all together in the right proportions, and you put it in a pan, it's this thing that holds things, and you put it in an oven, which heats things up, but not too hot, not too cold, and you got to do it for just the right time, now you have a cake. So in that sense, Yes, we are talking about core energies, eggs, milk, flour, right now. You say, well, how the hell does that make a person? It's the same thing as making a cake. You look at an egg, it doesn't look like a cake. You try to eat it, you're like, peh, this is raw. This doesn't taste like a cake. I know what cake tastes like. There's no eggs in cake. So we are simply taking you from the basics, because the more complex we get, the more difficult it's going to be. And the problem with most astrological teachings is they just kick you into the deep end of the pool and say, oh, by the way, there's sharks in there. Good luck swimming. We get all the sharks out, of course. And what we're doing is we're just sprinkling you with the hose, so you get the idea of what it's like to be wet. And then we'll start getting our toes wet in the water. Does it take longer? Sure. But when we are done with you, you will be able to work what people call miracles. Or Arthur C. Clarke said that any sufficiently advanced technology is the equivalent of magic. So you'll be able to work what people call magic. Because you will understand, my boss is this, and he's going to do this. Therefore, if I do that, he'll give me what I want. Or I want this. Therefore, I have to harness this energy, and bam, wow, things just come to pass. I will tell you right now, this is not hokum. There's a secret class of people that you will never meet and you will never hear about, but you can read up about them if you do a lot of research, that know this stuff inside and out. And they use it to predict the stock market and make a lot of money. They use it to market to all of us, and they make a lot of money. And they use it to influence people to do exactly what they want, and they make a lot of money. And it's just not just money. I mean, it's happiness, it's everything else. But money is something you can measure. The point is that money is the most sought after and practical measure of achievement that we have at this moment. Therefore, people who are interested in billions and trillions, not just the millions, they don't screw around. If they are into this hokum stuff, they know something that you don't. They know how to do it. We're going to teach you how to do it. It's going to be so easy. So please stay with us. And don't just listen to, destroys, it collects, you know, your home doesn't move. Try to just get behind it. Try to understand, if it stays in place, that's kind of Earth energy. If it gets up and moves around and says, rah, 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 that's more like fire energy. That's all you need to know right now. I don't know, Carol, what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And it's just going to get better as we keep going, so.
I've got my own cheering squad. Well, look, thanks everybody for being here. We've gone 20 minutes over our limit, but I hope you don't mind. Lot of information here. We'll try to keep this up on a weekly basis. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please tell your friends. And I have a bonus for you. All of my ebooks will be free for Christmas. Anything that I have ever written and published that is in ebook form will be free. I will give you details on that. If you absolutely can't wait, go to easytarotlessons.com. At the top left of the page, it says sign up for our newsletter. Well, just click that sign up. It's free. I'm not going to send you spam. And I will let you know when the ebooks are free. There's no catch. It's Christmas. I make a lot of money off these books. I'm not desperate for anyone to read them, but it's Christmas. And besides, I enrolled in that Kindle program where I can give away books. So I figure, I got 3 days, that I can give away the books for free on all these books. So around Christmas, I'll go, here's a whole bunch of free books. And so that's a special reward for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes. It takes a moment. Go to iTunes or go to Astrology CZ, Podomatic. Just look us up. Subscribe on iTunes. It's not bad. So you'll get all of these. If you have any questions, email them to Carol. I'm busy. Oh, poor Carol's busy. Thank you all for listening. Oh, if you happen to catch this in time, on December 17th, we have a special dowsing class. I'm not teaching it, and it's $30. This is well over $100. I mean, well over $100. It's probably more like $200 worth of lessons from one of the top dowsing instructors around. Her name is Pam Johnson. She's really, really good. She's one of my students, one of my clients. But that doesn't change things. She's really good. I'm going to be there learning. Carol's going to be there learning.
Yep, going to be there. I can't wait.
It's really, and it's a one-time thing. I mean, the thing is that I nagged her and guilted her into giving us all cheap lessons because I'm going to have a handful of people there. It's a small class, but if you want in on it, email me, me@dustywhite.net, and just say, hey, tell me more about this dowsing class. And, you know, I'll just send you the information, you do it or you don't. But all we are here to do is help you. So I hope you will actually listen to this podcast twice, if you can stand it. Tell your friends about it. And get out there and look at the world with your new X-ray vision. More and more as these podcasts go on, you're going to be able to see through everyone and see through everything. You'll see a tree. Well, that's Earth. A bird. Well, that's moving along. A lion, you know. You'll be able to see things that are active versus things that are passive. And the trick to the perfect life is simply understanding how things work so you can manipulate them to your benefit. And I don't mean manipulate in a bad, evil way. It's just when we breathe, we are manipulating air molecules. So like it or not, you're manipulating stuff all the time. Might as well do it right. All right, I've talked myself to death, and I've got nothing else left on this piece of paper. Carol, thank you. Any parting shots, thoughts, comments?
Just that, you know, it's another great session, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we're looking forward to the next one, which where we will be talking next time, what, I guess about air, correct?
Yes, we covered fire. Today, Earth. We're going to do air and water, but a lot of the comparison is we used fire as a base, and then to understand both fire and air better, fire and earth better, we wanted to compare and contrast. So we might do some more of that. Again, fire and air are going to be very active, very masculine, very flighty. Earth and water are going to be very feminine, very sedate, very stable. But again, there's chocolate, and then there's extra chocolate, and there's chocolate strawberry. So don't get too hung up on or fixated on it has to be this, has to be this. Just enjoy the ride. All right, talk to you guys later.